Scott, I'd like to start with the red flag legislation, but before I get into some listener questions, could you explain briefly what it's about?
Sure. So this is a bill that would set up a system where guns could be temporarily confiscated from an individual if they have been deemed to be a threat to themselves or others. That's why they refer to this as the red flag legislation. And supporters of this type of action claim it really helps to save lives. It allows someone to take a gun away from someone when people are already concerned about that person's well-being and what they might do. So this is really billed as a preventative measure.
I'd like to note that Montezuma County here in Southwest Colorado, they're actually considering putting in a resolution for a gun sanctuary that would go against this legislation if passed. And one of our listeners thinking about that, she wanted to know if there is Republican support at the state level for this bill.
You know, so far I haven't seen any. The bill had its first committee hearing last week, and the vote coming out of that committee was 7 Democrats in favor and 4 Republicans opposed, which is the split. So there wasn't any bipartisan support for it at the first committee hearing.
And this seems to be something that's not really unique to not only this red flag legislation, but also the popular vote interstate compact, which is now headed to the governor's desk. And just to remind listeners, this is a bill that, if enough states join, would award their electoral votes to the popular vote winner. How did that fare with Republican and rural legislators?
Very strongly opposed by Republicans and rural legislators. In fact, Representative Mark Catlin of Montrose was one of the most vocal opponents of this. He gave a floor speech late one evening against the National Popular Vote Compact bill, warning the other lawmakers in support of it that if Colorado goes down this path, they were going to find out very quickly what it's like to be a legislator in rural Colorado. And Catlin spoke a lot about how hard he thinks it is for rural legislators to get their voices heard on issues. And he thinks that, having Colorado join a popular vote system will kind of shift the state to that model where, as he puts it, voters in more populous regions and states like California and New York will have all of the power and influence in presidential elections. And states like Colorado, which have historically sometimes been battleground states and received a lot of attention from presidential candidates, he thinks it won't have as much of a reason to be visited on those schedules if it's a popular vote model, just because of Colorado's small population compared to some other states.
It's to my understanding that there were even some moderate Democrats that had split from the party on this vote.
There were. I believe there were about 6 Democrats who voted with all of the Republicans to oppose the measure. And these were Democrats from, again, some more rural areas. And, one that comes to mind, Representative Danaya Esgar, was one of the 6 to oppose the measure. I haven't had a chance to speak with them yet. That's on my list of things to do to kind of talk more about why they did. But just looking geographically, you can kind of see that these were legislators from rural parts of the state that perhaps agreed with that logic that this would really hurt the voice of people in rural Colorado and other places and that don't have as much population.
In our final few minutes here, I want to shift over to Senator Don Corum, who represents Southwest Colorado, and he is a Republican sponsor on the sex ed bill that's currently working its way through the legislature. Briefly, if you could explain what's behind that bill and also what Senator Corum's interest was in wanting to back this.
Sure. This is a piece of legislation that proponents say ensure that more students across the state learn about some important topics like consent and birth control and topics that they feel that a abstinence-only model perhaps leaves out. And the legislature had passed laws back in 2013 already to say that if the school district is going to teach sex education, it needs to be comprehensive. And what this bill this year does is it really works to better define, you know, what the state means by comprehensive, what topics those include, you know, things like consent, like, you know, the LGBT relationships. And they also, in this measure, provide $1 million worth of state funding to help schools that perhaps can't afford to offer, you know, the sex education curriculum. It really is a grant program to try and help more of them teach it. On the other hand, it's been a very controversial measure. There are a lot of lawmakers, mostly actually Republican lawmakers, who say that this is an overreach by the legislature, local school board members, not lawmakers. They feel that, you know, this is an infringement on the relationship between a parent and a child.
You mentioned that there's Republican opposition on this. Oh, so what made Senator Corum have an interest in wanting to sponsor and be one of the Republican voices in favor?
You know, I haven't spoken to him personally about it, but I have heard that Senator Corum was quoted in a couple media outlets talking about how he thinks this legislation will also perhaps prevent some instances of bullying. And what I mean by that and what he means by that is, you know, the more students learn about, you know, things like sexual orientation and, you know, the diversity of relationships and LGBT relationships, that, you know, perhaps that helps prevent bullying and some of the, you know, most harmful effects that we see in schools, and that this type of education, especially at the, you know, a young age, will promote understanding, will promote acceptance, and, you know, really help prevent things like bullying and the most extreme, you know, suicides in school. You know, if a school district is going to offer sex education, which currently they're not required to under state law, but he says if they are, you know, it should be complete and, as he said, medically accurate.
Scott Franz is KSJD's Capitol Coverage reporter. Thanks for your reporting and for joining us today, Scott.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Daniel. Thanks.